Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, October the 28th. And if it's Halloween, it's got to be George Rodriguez. Right, George?
Boo.
Boo, right. If it's Halloween. But actually, we're going to be talking about something a little bit more scary, and that's Beto O'Rourke right now. We'll be talking about Texas politics today and taking a look at the O'Rourke Abbott campaign. We'll look at, I'm really interested in those three races in South Texas, you know, number 15, number 28, number 34, the three getting a lot of national attention. And then we'll just kind of take a look at the red wave and see what it looks like from South Texas. But George, let me begin. This is off the topic, but it happened today. And that is Speaker Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, who's a very successful businessman in California, very successful businessman out there. His home, their home, I guess, was attacked, and a man got in and was hitting Mr. Pelosi with a hammer. Thankfully, he's okay. He's in the hospital, but apparently he's okay. And aside from the fact that, you know, he's married to the speaker and they're, you know, wealthy themselves, how is it possible that a person like that would not have some kind of security to prevent somebody from breaking into their house? I mean, how did you react to it, George?
Yeah, that's exactly the same question that I had, because this is the second time that they've had somebody come into their home. As you recall, about 18 months ago, maybe less than that, maybe 12 months ago, they had some homeless person that walked in and they came and arrested them. And, you know, there was it was a frightening situation, apparently, at that point for the family. But, you know, once that happened, you would think that she being the third in line to be the leader of the most powerful nation in the world, you would get some security.
Right.
And this now this happens where the husband gets attacked. You know, I'm not sure what they are thinking. I'm not sure why they have not gotten some type of security service.
Right. It happened at 2:30 in the morning, from what I understand, Pacific time. It happened at 2:30 in the morning, and the guy walks in, I guess, with a hammer, as I understand the story. And then, you know, thankfully he's alive. He could have been killed. You know, you
he
can kill somebody. You can kill somebody with a hammer, obviously.
Yes.
He does have some injuries, and it appears that he's going to be okay. But when I heard about it, I had the same reaction. You know, how is it possible that, I mean, this is the Speaker of the House's home. You would think that her husband would be a target, very easy target for this. And then they have their own, you know, how in the world they don't have their own security given the criminal activity in San Francisco. That's the other thing that hit me. So anyway, we're hoping for a recovery, and it looks like he's going to be okay. But when you're 82 and you get attacked with a hammer,
yeah, really,
I mean, you really have to...
It takes you a while to recover.
Yeah, you pray for the best. Hopefully that's, you know, we put politics to the side at times like these, and we worry about the health of the individuals. Well, let's talk a little bit about Texas, George. I mean, in a couple of weeks, we're all going to be voting. I was going to vote today early, but we had a lot of heavy rain, and I didn't want to stand outside in the rain. So, I've got another week. So on Monday, I'll do it. But there's a lot of talk. Let's begin with all this talk about a red wave. You're seeing more and more, you know, some of the pollsters showing that red wave. Real Clear Politics, which is where they put all those polls together. Now they are projecting that the Republicans will end up 53-47. What they're saying is the Republicans will win Nevada, Arizona, and Georgia. That's where they get the three from. And they will retain Pennsylvania. So 53-47 is what they are projecting today. And then in the House, they're projecting 25 plus. They're not quite sure how high it'll go, but at least 25. Now, that's not a bad night. But do you, from where you're sitting, do you see the signs of that red wave, George?
I definitely see enthusiasm and signs of that red wave. I was not so optimistic a week ago, but over the past week, I have seen evidence of much more enthusiasm in the grassroots. On Saturday, I participated in a rally in South Texas. It was one of three rallies that happened in South Texas. One included Trump in Robstown. Another one included the three ladies that are running for Congress held down in the Rio Grande Valley. The one that I participated in was in Gonzales, Texas. All of them drew huge crowds. Obviously, the largest one was the Trump crowd. The people were very, very enthused. I think that there is a red tsunami coming. The other observation I have is that I voted on Monday, and I have visited the early voting polls since then. Here in San Antonio, I live a few blocks away from one of the largest polls, one of the largest voting polls, or booths rather, in the city that attracts large numbers of early voters. And being out there, what I have noticed is that the people that are campaigning, the campaign workers for the Republicans, are either the people running themselves, relatives, or other folks who are friends. And all of them are very, very enthused out there passing out flyers and whatnot. On the other hand, the Democrats have paid people to go to the polls and carry signs. I swear to you, Silvio, their enthusiasm is really lacking. They will walk around with signs, but they will not pass out bills. I mean, it is, I don't know if these people see the handwriting on the wall or if they're just, because they're paid and they just don't really care. But there's a real lack of enthusiasm on their part.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that I was listening to Hugh Hewitt the other day, a couple of days ago, and that's what he was saying, that on a national scale, they're sensing that lack of enthusiasm as well. And I have not voted yet, as I told you, I think off the air because of the rain today. I was going to vote today, but I'll go on Monday. But people tell me around here there are some very long lines everywhere they vote. I have not seen any numbers or where the votes are coming from, but every Republican, every conservative that I know is extremely excited about voting. I mean, I've never seen anything like this in a long time. The last time that I saw this kind of enthusiasm, honestly, to this level, was in 2004 when George W. Bush was running for reelection, that there was a real enthusiasm to get out and vote, at least here in Texas. And I haven't seen it since. I have not seen it since. This year, even more than 2016 or 2020, I see a lot of enthusiasm, George. And I think one of the reasons that I am beginning to believe, and I want to get your reaction to this, but one of the reasons I'm beginning to believe that the red wave is real is because we're seeing independents come to us. You know, independents have always been the tiebreaker, as I like to refer to them. They're the ones who basically go one way or the other. But I think the Democrats with the economy, and I think a lot of independents are very unhappy with Joe Biden. They voted for, they thought was going to be a centrist, a more moderate president. And what they've gotten is Bernie Sanders. They basically have gotten something totally different than what they voted for. And I think those independents are the ones who are going to make it a tsunami. I really believe that, George. Do you agree with me?
I agree with you 100%. While being at the polls, while working the polls here yesterday, I got a ton of people coming by and giving me the thumbs up when we would, you know, approach them about voting for our conservative candidates. And I mean, it is the handwriting is on the wall. Now, as far as the congressional races for these three ladies that we've been watching down south, the congressional races, I'm seeing a lot of folks coming in from out of state to come in and campaign for them. And once again, a lot, they have many more block walkers. They have many more folks that are personalities, people that are out there walking for them and campaigning for them. And I just don't see anything happening on the Democrat side. Can't hear you.
Oops, my fault. I muted myself accidentally, so I apologize. But there's three races, number 15. Let me tell you how I see them, and please agree or disagree with me. There's three, number 15, number 28, and 34. Of course, those are numbers. Number 15 is the new district, or basically the new district, and it looks like the Republican lady, Monica de la Cruz, is going to win that one. That's my. Do you agree with me there?
Yes.
I think she looks very well positioned to win. From everything I'm reading. Then you have number 28. This is Henry Cuellar against Cassidy Garcia. That I see as a toss-up right now.
I tend to agree to a certain extent, but I'm beginning to see much more movement on her part.
Okay. So you see it like a lot of the rest of the country.
Beginning to move in her direction.
Yeah, tilting in the GOP direction.
Yes.
Okay, so that's number 28. I saw Henry Cuellar, I think I told you, I saw Henry Cuellar on Fox News Sunday, and, you know, he did very well, actually, I thought, in the interview. But somebody asked him the question, why don't you switch parties? You have nothing in common with Democrats. And he said, well, you know, I guess people know me and so on. But now the other one, and this is really interesting, and this is Myra Flores against Vicente Gonzalez in district number 34. This is the new district was created. So you have two incumbents basically running against each other. I like Myra Flores and her enthusiasm. So if I had to pick out of these three, George, I say definitely 15 and 34 go Republican, 28. We may have to stay up all night, and God only knows what happens. It'll be very close. So I think at the very least, two out of three, maybe even all three, George.
Now, the very interesting thing that I'm seeing now, on Wednesday, I was at a big function for Fox News in Houston with these three ladies. And again, the enthusiasm, the support for all three of them, the governor was there. The support for all of them is really, really sky high. What is very, very interesting in the Cuellar district, and I guess the other two, but not so much as much as in the Cuellar district right now, I am beginning to see a lot of Democrats excuse the turnout. I'm hearing a lot of Democrats claim that there's voter intimidation already, even though we started the early voting. I'm hearing a lot of Democrats who are very, very afraid of the turnout, as they put it, because there are no mail-in ballots and there are huge, as they put it, expanses of distance that people have to cover. So they may not be able to make it to the polls. And they're very upset that mail-in ballots are. So I'm beginning to see excuses already arising over their possible loss.
Right.
And on the other hand, on the other two, I don't hear those excuses because I think that they're already.
Right.
I think that they're ready for the steamroller.
Well, it's really funny because back in September of 2020, last September 2021. I was on the local channel, Telemundo, Univision, I was on Univision on their Sunday program, and the lady who was moderating was asking about the new voting law that we passed here in Texas and how people were complaining that, you know, it was too difficult to vote. And she kept reading off all these Democrat talking points. So I said to her, you know, it's fascinating. I never hear any Republican, Hispanic Republicans complaining about voting. Apparently, they don't have any problems with the rules. They understand the rules perfectly. So if only Democrats are having problems or Hispanic Democrats are having problems with the rules, maybe it's because they don't want to vote. Maybe it's because there's apathy. And maybe that's what this is saying, because they don't want to vote. So, you know, with what, not really 2 weeks, we're talking 11 or 12 days. We have two more weekends, this one and the next one. And so I'm going to make a prediction, George, here. You and I are going to make a I'm going to make a prediction. Maybe you want to join me or not, but I'm going to predict that the Republicans will win all three. I'm going to go ahead and predict with a little bit of luck, they'll beat Cuellar. But the other two, I think, look real good.
I think it's going to be at least 2-1. I'm hoping that it's going to be 3.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the more conservative or cautious prediction would be 2-1 with Henry Cuellar, you know, getting reelected. And I guess if Henry Cuellar gets reelected, we could do a heck of a lot worse.
And,
so.
and what's fascinating is that the arguments that they are posing, including Beto.
Has an
ad where he himself comes out, and all of them raise problems that they have created.
Right.
It just is amazing to me that, you know, I mean, are they looking in the mirror when they're complaining? I mean, it is just really fascinating to me how they don't understand that this is all going to come back and bite them.
Right. Well, one of the talking about the O'Rourke Abbott campaign, I think the Abbott people had an easy time doing commercials. All they had to do is go to YouTube and pick up O'Rourke videos. Watching the Abbott ads, it's almost like Beto's greatest hits, you know, 1 and 2 and 3. It's really hilarious. They did a great job of going back and picking up everything. At the moment, George, the Governor Abbott, is up by 9. And the RCP average, as they call it, you know, he's up by 9.
I tend to think that it's greater than that. But that
I agree with you, because there are some undecideds in those numbers. And my guess is that my gut feeling is that a lot of those undecideds are Republicans who are still angry with Abbott.
Yeah.
So they're either not going to vote, or if they vote, they'll just go ahead and vote Republican.
And many, let's face it, many more Republicans don't answer polls.
Well, that's the other problem, too. You have to wonder about the you know, the
margin
sample.
Of error.
Yeah, exactly. So I see the governor winning. I said all year long that he was going to win between 7 and 10. You remember when we spoke about this earlier, and I think I still see it in that.
I do, too.
In that range, I think he's going to get between 53 and maybe 55 in that range. That's what I see. It could go higher, as you say, because of the turnout. Now, there's two other issues that the Democrats have really tried to play with. One is Uvalde, and the other one is abortion.
Correct.
Now, Uvalde, of course, is all about gun control. And I don't think that that's moving anything down here. I was on Telemundo recently. We were talking about Uvalde, and I said, look, everybody's angry about what happened in Uvalde. I don't know anybody who's happy with, you know, a bunch of kids being killed in a school, the doors being open. But this is a lot more complicated than gun control. I mean, you can change whatever law you want, but if we're going to have kids like this growing up without parental support, if the community is not going to be keeping track of these kids, we're kidding ourselves if it's just gun control. George, I think a lot of Texans see it that way. Do you agree with me?
Oh, definitely. In fact, a lot of people that I had been speaking with were turned off by the use of the parents of the children that were killed. And it apparently had a backlash enough that they have pulled that. There was an ad early on where you had all these parents sitting in front of the camera talking about their tragedy, Well, they've pulled that that ad. That ad is no longer on because I think they felt a backlash to that.
Yeah.
And now they do have somebody talking about the gun issue, like specifically the sale of guns, which is what their problem is. But I really think that was indicative of how they overreached. The other issue again is the abortion issue.
Right. And I want to get into that too. Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what they can say when a state legislature that was duly elected by the people, by the will of the people, is what has determined the limitations, not the abolishment, but the limitations.
Exactly. Now, the other day, a few days ago, I heard what I think is the best explanation of why the abortion issue did not work for the Democrats like they thought they did. It was going to, like they thought it was going to. And it came from Dick Morris. Now, Dick Morris, he has made some good predictions, some bad predictions. I guess we all do that. But his explanation was that once it went to the states, once the issue went to the states, that half of the country isn't going to see any difference when it comes to abortion. I mean, if you're in California, if you're in Illinois, New York, I guess New Jersey, Maryland, the so-called blue states, you're not going to see any difference.
Exactly.
Because their legislatures are basically going to give them their own Roe v. Wade.
Exactly.
So in California, they're going to have their own Roe v. Wade.
Exactly.
So it's hard to get angry at abortion in California when you have your own Roe v. Wade. Yeah,
exactly.
On the other hand, the states that have put limitations like Texas and so on, people tend to support that. They tend to support abortion whether 10 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever with some limitations. So the issue has kind of, what Dick Morris was saying is that the issue when it was Roe v. Wade, it divided the country in a very polarizing way, if I could put it that way,
because
both sides had something to scream about. But now, in a sense, every side is getting what they want. If you live in California,
the beauty of the Constitution.
Yeah,
that was the whole idea of the Constitution.
Exactly.
You don't like it here, you can move up there.
Yeah, or you vote for people who believe in whatever you believe.
Exactly.
And I think that what Dick Morris was saying is the genius of the Constitution is exactly that the issue goes to the people decide, and if you want unlimited abortion, well, you get that in California, and if you want restricted abortion, well, you're going to get that in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a couple of states, I think Alabama, where it's even more restricted. But in general, people are going to be happy with their state solution. And it tends to,
It diffused the issue.
Exactly. It takes all the air out of the issue. So people aren't, screaming about it. And that, and so for the Democrats, when they're campaigning, when they're saying, let's make abortion legal, well, it's already legal in California.
It is.
Yeah. So there's really not an issue for you in that respect. So I thought that was perhaps the best explanation of the abortion issue. And of course, the other issue too that I think hurt the Democrats, George, is the fact that they don't want to, they're not talking about any limits. I mean, Beto gets the question about limits on abortion, and his answer is, well, it's between a man and a woman. Well, that's a joke. I mean, that's really a joke because 95, 96, 97% of the abortions had nothing to do with a doctor.
Exactly.
I mean, look, I like a lot of other people.
And in many cases, I didn't even have anything to do with a man.
Exactly. And exactly right. And I remember many times with the Knights of Columbus, which is a Catholic men's club that I belong to, we have protested in front of abortion clinics, and we'll stand out there. And we don't talk to the women, we don't talk to them because we don't want to create any controversy. But I've never seen any woman show up with a doctor's note to have an abortion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's their choice. They show up.
It's their choice.
It has nothing to do with their medical condition.
Exactly.
It's not like the doctor said, gee, you got to get an abortion. Well, if that's the case, that wouldn't even be called an abortion.
Exactly.
If that's the case.
A medical procedure and
the doctor
glad to do it.
Exactly. But not the other thing, too, is that it's not a coincidence that a lot of the abortion clinics are in university towns.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of, you know, pregnancies,
a lot of
and
Saturday night oops moments.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I think that issue dried up for them in large parts because it went back to the people, like we were saying. And then, of course, because it gets overshadowed by the economy, George.
Right.
I mean, that is, I just saw today something. In the state of Nevada, it's $5 gasoline.
Huh.
I mean, it's crazy.
It is. Well, the two issues I think that they have really miscalculated on and they are really paying the price on is the issue of inflation,
yes,
including the energy crisis,
right,
and the issue of the border. Here in South,
yes,
Texas, the,
yes,
border has, I mean, this morning there was a report in Kenney County, which is about 80 miles away from my house here, where a van was chased, and then it crashed, and then it went up in flames. Nobody was hurt, but it shut down the highway for, you know, a couple of hours. The people that were in it all jumped and ran, and they had to be found. They all ran into bushes and into ranches. Then on top of that, you see on a daily basis the number of people crossing under the bridge, not over the bridge, under the bridge. And, you know, this has seared into the minds of people here in South Texas, into the Hispanics in South Texas. The other thing is, how many of our South Texas Hispanics have trucks because of their job, because of their work, because of, you know, their lifestyle? And, I mean, you know, I drove my truck to Houston on Wednesday to the Fox event, Fox News event. It was $100 one way.
Right. That used to be the price of an airline ticket to Houston.
Yeah. Really?
I remember taking a few flights from Dallas to Houston a few years ago, and that was the sale price. You know, you can get good deals, and it was $100 to fly there back then. The other issue too, George, and this is perhaps not so much in Texas, but in other places, some of the blue places, and that's crime.
Oh,
I think the crime issue is killing them. I mean, just absolutely
here in San Antonio.
Them.
Here in San Antonio, we
okay.
have a, we have a district attorney who was funded in the last election to the tune of $1 million 4 years ago, to the tune of $1 million by George Soros. And we have had the worst crime and violence in recorded history of San Antonio. It is really, really out of control.
Yeah.
And it's very different. And then on top of that, you've got a Black Lives Matter contingent that has been extremely vocal about reducing the police force, they don't call it defunding the police, but about controlling the police. And, you know, they've been very, very vocal. These folks have hurt the Democrats. They have hurt the Democrats because
well, there's no question about that. I think that's one of the, I think you're right. I think that's one of the biggest, they didn't think ahead when they were out there, you know, screaming for defunding the police and all of that a couple of summers ago. I don't think they thought through that if you defund the police, eventually that's number one, going to create more crime. But number two, it's going to make it more difficult to recruit police,
correct,
which is a national problem right now in many of these cities. Well, George, our time is just about
already
up, but I got to ask you the question of the Halloween question. Are you dressing up as Elizabeth Warren? Or are you dressing up? I mean, if you dress up as Elizabeth Warren, you can claim to be Native American, right? So you can wear the Native American outfit. And if you dress as Beto O'Rourke, I guess you can claim to be Hispanic, which you already are, of course. But you have, now have two reasons.
Yes, but I would be accused of being of cultural appropriation.
Oh, I see. I see. Well, I thought.
I want to avoid that accusation.
Yes, you do. I'm
going to dress as a champion, the Astros.
Oh, there you go. There you go. They play. They start playing tonight. You know, on a day like this with rain all over Texas, thank God for that roof.
Yep.
They wouldn't be playing without that roof in Houston. I'm going to make a crazy prediction also, about the Astros. I think they're going to take it in four.
I sure hope so. Yes, I do too. The I mean, the Phillies were the fourth best team
yes.
in the National League. So hopefully, you know, the Astros can roll.
Well, the reason I'm picking them in four, they're either going to pick it in four or they're going to go seven and have a very – the Phillies are going potentially win in seven. But the Phillies are kind of, like you say, the surprise team. They're the hot team. And they came in, you know, they've been surprising everybody.
Yeah.
But they've been off for a week. They haven't played in a week. Remember, the last game was Sunday. So that whole time off can sometimes cool you off.
Exactly.
And every time I see the Astros in the postseason and I see them getting into their bullpen, it's like lights out.
Yeah.
If they got to go to their bullpen, forget it, because it's lights out. Those guys coming out of the bullpen are throwing nothing but, as they used to say when I used to watch baseball with my dad and my uncle, they used to say he's throwing aspirins because the ball was so little. It was like aspirins, you know, and that it looked so little. I mean, when the ball was coming in. And so, man, that Astros bullpen is
really
unbelievable. I don't know
how tremendous.
Where did they get all those guys?
They have the Phillies have Bryce.
Harper.
Harper, and you know, the Yankees had their top hitter, the top hitter in the American League,
Judge,
and they were controlled. So I can't see if things go right. They'll sweep it in four.
Yeah, I'm really hoping also on a personal level that Dusty Baker can win the World Series. He's been close a couple of times before, and I would like to see him win a World Series. He's had a great career as a manager and as a player, of course. And I just, maybe on a more emotional level, would like to see him win the World Series, because that's really all he's got left to do.
I mean,
he's done everything else. And
That'll be the cherry on the top.
That's right, yeah. Well, George, happy Halloween, and
thank you.
We'll do another one before the election, and we'll do another one after the election. And if I see Elizabeth Warren running around on Halloween, I know it's you.
Thank you.
All right, George. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
And go Astros. Let's go
yes.
for the Astros this weekend. Well, our good friend, George Rodriguez, down in San Antonio, talking a little bit of politics. Of course, I had to talk a little baseball there because today is the start of the World Series. But, you know, we went through a few issues here. I agree with George. I think that there's a really good chance that the Republicans pick up those three seats on the district, down on the border, I should say. If there's one that, you know, I could maybe concede that they may lose, it's Henry Cuellar, because he's so well positioned down there. He's very respected down there. And he may just pull it off, even though there's a big red wave. But he may lose. He may lose as well. When you have a wave like this, you know, all bets are off on a wave like this. And, of course, Governor Abbott continues to lead Beto O'Rourke by about 9 points in the RCP average. So happy Halloween to all of you. And we'll chat with you the next time. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Happy weekend, and we'll talk to you later.